You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Hello, everyone. It's episode 28, or the temperature is 28, or both, because, frankly...
There's Nick. Nothing to say about that.
Yeah. I'm Nick, as always, and we have Lisa, who I'm sure has questions, and a notebook. So that's notebook. Always good. And a notebook. And we have Laura Bernstein,
Maclay.
No, I know your husband. You'd think I would know how to say his name. And I'm also mostly Irish. And here's Lee.
That's me. Hi. Okay, so lots and lots of craziness happening right now. But standing in front of you is a bra by Comexum. And her name is Yoko.
Did she break up the band?
That's why when you said she... I'll tell you that in a minute. So, yeah, Yoko is standing right in front of you. She is gorgeous. She is made in Poland. She is a 38G on Betty, and she has matching panties. We are all arguing as to what the pattern is. I say it's fans. Looks like fans.
I think it looks like
Well, when you say the name is Yoko, sure, but I saw peacock feathers.
I see the colors in the peacock, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's
gorgeous.
It's an absolutely beautiful bra. The Polish bras, you know, they fit a little bit differently than any bra you've ever put on. The wires are thinner.
I think you know. I don't think anyone else knows. Oh, so man. You're going to have to explain this to us. Because I've seen, and we've reposted on the Twitter feed, some comments from some lingerie bloggers about why Polish bras are so amazing. So what is it about Polish bras that are different from... some of the other manufacturers?
Part of it is the wire itself. So at Comexum, they make everything, you know, everything is made in-house. They don't bring in a whole bunch of stuff and to put the bra together. So they have complete control over it. So the wires are made for each cup and each style. So yeah, careful. So they...
Betty over.
Don't knock Betty over. She might make a problem. So do you feel that wire?
I feel that, you know, usually you're right. Like the wire usually tends to be like a wider wire. Mm-hmm. And this is a pretty narrow, round wire for the underwire.
So it's pretty comfortable, but it also is a tighter U. So if you take your fingers and you've got a wide U and then narrow it, bring your finger and thumb together. So what that does is it takes that breast and shoots it forward and lifts it right up. Ooh. So this particular one is very much a date bra. It's more of a balconette because you're going to have some
flesh showing.
Yeah. And, but you always want to try these puppies on because Comexum is the one that does the size conversion. And I don't always trust it. A 38G from them might be a 36G.
So sometimes much like shoe brands, try them on and because they change from brand to brand and style to style.
Style to style in this case as well. That band is typically a lot tighter than other manufacturers, the Comexum brands.
And you have on the back here what looks like a J-hook, but it's longer than a typical J-hook.
We sell those. That is a magic clip, and it's flat. It's flat, it's silicone, it's clear, but we do that. If you have narrow shoulders, a lot of times, more narrow than your rib cage is, then you can get slippage. But you can see that right there. Isn't that, pattern, the embroidery is flawless.
The embroidery is
on
gorgeous,
this.
And there's a cute little bow, and it's not like a girly bow, it's just a cute little... black bow in the center.
Well, the other thing that the Polish will do, or Comexum specifically will do, is they'll take that gore and they'll sew it together pretty much right in the front. The gore, if you don't remember these last lessons that I've given you, the gore is where the wires are meeting in between your breasts, and they're usually sewn into a panel there. So if a gore is really closer, now you're really bringing your breasts and your cleavage together even more. So sometimes you can look inside the bras, look in the cups, and the Polish gores are sewn almost on top of each other.
They're pigeon-toed.
Yeah.
Pigeon-toed.
It's like they've got bunions.
Well, that's alluring.
By the way, I see peacocks also.
You see peacocks?
All right.
Thank you.
We win.
Fine.
Okay. So,
and the matching panties are gorgeous, right?
They're gorgeous.
And you could pair those panties with just a black bra if you get in and the bra is not for you.
Now, Lee, is this a fashion color that is only available for a limited time,
right,
or is this a standard?
No.
This is a fashion color, yeah. So when it's gone, the season is gone.
Sometimes I can contact them and say, hey, can you guys make me blah, blah, blah? Because they make things to order. So if you order from me a Comexon bra, there is a chance they have it in a warehouse, but more than likely they'll be like, yes, we'll have to make that for you. It'll be 3 to 6 weeks. And then they have to ship it to me. So you really must want it. And that will be a final purchase.
Okay. So this is not a layaway and we can put it back in stock. It's if you buy it, it's yours.
Bingo.
Yeah. Okay. I love it though. I love the general concept. So you could actually take lots of different palettes and do the same.
The style. Yeah. The embroidery.
Yeah. I really.
They can.
Right. Not.
But,
yeah.
But when they make this one to order, that's what it's going to come at.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So there you go. That's Yoko by Comexon. Comexon is one of those bra brands that they have an underground following, and they last such a nice long time. The bands are so well constructed that people will frequently sell their gently used Comexon bra.
Really?
Yeah. You can go on different places and find them used. And then the advantage and disadvantage is you can get a band that has been relaxed and
but
stretched
that means
down
if
a little
it's
bit.
Too relaxed for you, it doesn't really do its job.
But they do make those puppies really, really tight. And they don't stretch very quickly or very easily because they use double fabrics. And
especially if you hand wash them like you're
especially
supposed
if you hand wash
to.
Them. Yep. And that embroidery lasts a long time, which is really nice.
Do you know what the price is for the bra?
That one is $78.
Wow. Okay. $78. Great deal.
For something that's that well made.
Yeah. Yeah. I expected it to be higher. I would be bad on the prices, right? So,
Lisa, come on down. I'm going to move her out of the way now.
Yeah,
cool.
I was going to say,
guys,
if you want to,
that would be.
I want to talk about.
Can I ask a quick bra question?
Sure.
I actually never knew this. When you wash them and you hand wash them, are you supposed to lay them flat to dry? I've always wanted to know this.
Yeah, you can lay them flat to dry.
Because I was told that if you put them over a line, then they will dry wrong and that will stretch them.
It depends on the bra. I mean, if you are looking with a contour bra or a molded cup bra, I can see where someone might think that because it could get crushed. The cup could get crushed. So you've got to see what you're dealing with. If you're dealing with something that's a cut and sew, I think hanging it over a line is fine.
I typically hand wash mine and then hang them over the towel rack that's in my shower.
That's what I do, but I've been worried all this time that I've been doing it wrong.
You can also get a plastic hanger from a bra shop like mine, take it home, and if you want to just hang it up like it's usually hung in a store and hang it like that to dry, that's fine too.
Yeah, I'm probably never going to do
that.
Okie dokie.
But,
and I'm
but
never
it's a really
gonna
good
let
idea
out,
and I support it.
That's a lot of space to just floor space or whatever. Like, where the hell am I going to put that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, I hang them in the shower and then they can drip in the shower and I don't have to worry about it.
Right, I couldn't find table space to lay them flat.
Right,
yeah.
So that is a beautiful bra. So we have some things to talk about before we get to our guest.
I want to talk about what I tried to do to you at the drive-thru.
Sometimes Lee is like a 14-year-old boy.
Okay.
Do you want to tell it? Or
you'll
shall
go
I?
Blind.
I know she's got me on speakerphone. I know this.
Because I'm in the car.
Right. And I know that she's talking to someone on a speaker. And so I don't want to talk over her because I don't want to mess up her ordering. But as soon as I hear a break, I'm like, so Lisa, you want to get that butt plug today?
And I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, I'd already rolled the window up. So I'm like, haha, I already rolled the window up. So then I get to pick up my order. And she tries it again. And I'm like, haha, she closed the window already.
And then I know there's one more chance. I'm like, this woman is a dominatrix. Then we just laughed hysterically.
Yeah. No, I wanted to talk about something a little sadder. So that was amusing. Well, but we're going to go to sad and then we're going to go to, Okay, so the sad is yesterday was a giant cluster.
Yesterday
for
was
a variety of reasons.
Yeah. Yesterday was horrible. I had no idea about yesterday.
So Lee is coming back from Chicago where she is spending her life right now. And we're in the car. I'm not in the car. I'm at home. She's in the car and we're talking. And I'm like, so did you hear this? She's like, no. I'm like, did you hear this? No. Did you hear this? What? So
she's telling me all the bad things that happened yesterday.
Well, yeah. So we'll start with yesterday was tax day, right?
But not really.
But not really because
psych.
Because there was a computer glitch. You all, if you haven't already filed, have until today to file your taxes. So, okay.
More and more people are doing it electronically. The system can't handle it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We're all getting a lot more savvy and trying to save a tree.
But aside from the IRS, is not getting savvy.
No.
That's the problem.
Government bureaucracy at its finest.
Yeah.
So, okay. Meh. Mildly
that's
amusing
not a big deal,
because of things this president has said about websites in the past presidency. It's just kind of quirky amusing. Then I hop on Twitter.
Uh-oh.
And I see that Carl Castle.
I know.
Passed away. And for those of you who aren't NPR nerds, Carl Castle.
That one was really bad.
Yeah. That was bad. Bad. I moaned.
Yeah, I don't cry. I don't cry. I'm not a touchy feely lovey kind of person, but I was reading what people were saying and I was getting teary eyed. But my favorite thing that somebody posted was, God must have really wanted his voice on her answering machine. Because in the last years that he was with NPR, he was doing Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the prize was Carl Castle's voice on your home answering machine.
And then they had to change it to voicemail.
Yeah, exactly. Because people were like, what's an answering machine?
Right. They're we're dating our audience because we keep saying
Even when he stopped appearing on the show, he still did the voices on the answering machine. And I knew things were bad when he stopped, the voicemail. Mm-hmm. And then he stopped doing that. And I started fretting.
Oh, yeah.
I started fretting early.
That it must have been something.
Yeah.
I mean, 84 years old. So that's
brilliant.
A good life led. And he was a wonderful human being by all accounts.
Loved, loved, loved.
So that was sad. Oh, teary-eyed. Then I went to take a nap yesterday evening. And as I'm laying in bed, instead of reading a book or doing something that will not make my brain turn to mush, I get back on Twitter.
You are so funny. That's how you stay awake, not take a nap.
No, it makes me fall asleep.
Okay, weirdo.
Barbara Bush passes away.
I
was expecting that one.
I was expecting it, but not expecting it the day after she was released from the hospital. And I had texted to someone. She was released from the hospital. She's like, I'm not going to do it again. And her publicist said, yeah, she's at home, chatting and drinking a bourbon. And I was like, you go, Barbara. So we knew it was going to happen, but I didn't think it was going to happen the day after she was chatting and having a bourbon.
Right.
So, and then the final thing, and this was kind of the kicker, though I guess there's kind of a bright side to the story in terms of the hero of the story, was the Southwest Airlines.
That one, when you told me about the Southwest Airlines, mm-hmm. I thought I was going to have to pull over on the side of the road. That one shocked me.
Well, it shocked me, and it's like, don't these things get inspected? So nobody knows what happened, but the engine blew up, and it had been overhauled about 10,000 miles ago.
But the clue is in the word Southwest.
<Mm-mm>. Well, I mean, they all have to be inspected. They have to go through major inspections, and I know a lot of pilots, so I know a little bit about the process. Not a lot. I've never really cared all that much because I'm just whatever. Flying is safe, right?
Right.
Unclear exactly what happened, but.
And it's a big machine. We have mechanical failures.
Yeah.
Things
go wrong.
Things go wrong. I mean, your car went wrong, right?
Could have been a bird in the
We won't know yet. We don't know. They did say something about one of the blades splitting.
So
I heard that this morning.
So there was one death, which was the woman who was pulled through the
window.
And at the end of Goldfinger, basically.
A couple of men
pulled her in and tried to do CPR, but I think they indicated that the concussive force of hitting a window as you're being sucked through it was not, that she had likely already passed away. So that's very sad. The bright side to it is that the hero of the story, the pilot who got the plane down and didn't freak out, was one of the first Navy fighter pilots when women were finally allowed to fly.
Women fighter pilots, yes.
Fighter blades. So did I mention that she was a woman? Did I miss that part? Female. One of the first female fighter pilots. I thought I had said that. Anyway. So she was a rock star.
Yep. And calm. Very, very calm.
Collected. And just was like, got to get this thing down.
Got to get the rest of these souls on the ground.
So good on her.
Absolutely.
She is a badass.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad yesterday's over.
Mm-hmm. And I hate to add this because to me, at least, it's also
oh,
really
God, there was
sad.
More?
Well, I'm not 100% sure it was yesterday or if it was the night before, but I don't know if this will affect anyone else, but Harry Anderson.
Yo, yes. Oh, yes. That one was awful.
Michael.
I think that might have been the night before. But yes, thank you. I totally forgot.
That was the night before.
He was human being as well, and his character was fun.
His character was awesome.
And the magic tricks and Mel Torme.
Mel Torme.
I was alive when that show was on originally.
Me too. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, today is another day. It's warmer.
So
it's not icy.
Quasi-warmer.
Next week will be in the 50s and 60s, that's exciting.
They say.
Oh, the other thing that I was not a part of, but also had to have sucked, is if you had tickets to last night's Tigers game, where you had to basically
wear
a
parka. But they did a really good job. They must always play in freezing weather.
I'm sorry, but you guys are going to have to play in Alaska now.
Yeah. Yeah, we're just going to install refrigeration units.
Exactly. Speaking
the whole
of Alaska,
Twitter.
Musher Twitter. Hashtag Musher Twitter. I don't actually have a whole lot to say about that except that our hero, Blair, just finished a 440-mile race up in Alaska and she's posted some really cute pictures. But you made me lose track.
I'm sorry. Somebody was trying to call on the phone. I had to quit it.
I was like, are we really that worried about time already?
No. That it was shaking at me that someone was calling. Hopefully that's not an emergency.
So she just finished this race, which qualifies her for the Yukon Quest and the Iditarod.
Nice.
So we still have to figure out a way to get her down here on the off season, summertime, to talk about something so that we can see sled dogs and Blair, but mostly sled dogs. But I went down another Twitter rabbit hole.
Okay.
No, really?
Well, I mentioned last week about the zombie raccoons, right?
Yeah.
So I went to look them up
because you do, because that's what you do.
This hate. Now I'm getting a call.
Nah. It's from a zombie raccoon.
Was it a Detroit number?
Yeah, I think it's Molly.
Oh.
So, yes, it was.
Okay.
Anyway, raccoon Twitter.
Raccoon Twitter.
It's a thing. So apparently, I'll get to the zombies because I couldn't. The Podcast Detroit Studio hates my phone and I cannot get on their internet. So I had to go look it up after the fact. About the zombie raccoons. Uh-huh. But first, apparently, recently, someone in Indiana took their pet raccoon to the fire department because it had smoked too much weed.
And smoked, not eaten. Just
the headline said smoked. Now, I'm guessing that you're probably not just rolling one for your pet raccoon and going here.
I don't know. They've got little hands.
They got little cute hands.
Rocket. No, but then he'd just try to wash it and... You know, it would disintegrate. You're
but
just
what if he learned?
Pot.
What was he? What if he learned from his?
Yeah. What
his
if he
friends?
Learned? And he's like,
his taller friends with bigger hands.
Have you ever got that guy's eye? You ever cut that guy's eye? Official.
I'm seeing a little raccoon with the little hands with the little lighter.
Right. He's trying to light.
Yeah.
It was Rocket the raccoon from Galaxy Guardians of the Galaxy.
He could do it.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe he ate like a box of pot brownies or something. I don't know. But so anyway, yes, the fire department did tweet out that they didn't really know, they love animals, but they didn't really know what to do.
Except for help keep him in like oxygen. Let him breathe air.
Except to like, if he had any issues, maybe give him Narcan.
Give him a bag of Doritos.
No, yeah. Some Doritos, a bean bag, and some Lee Scratch Perry albums, and you're good.
Right, here are the lady Doritos.
That way
they
don't
suck.
Get too many crumbs everywhere. Exactly. But, you know, poor raccoon.
Unless, you know, cheese on their fingers. We know they don't like to lick those off. So anyway, the zombie raccoons. Youngstown, Ohio apparently is having a zombie raccoon epidemic. The zombie raccoons, first of all, show up during the day, which
is beyond
atypical.
Yeah.
All I can think of is the shark from Saturday Night Live. Delivery.
Land shark.
Land shark. Delivery.
I don't think they knock on the doors, though, Lee. I think they just show up menacingly behind you and bare their teeth while standing only on their hind legs. I have a picture.
Oh, God.
That the guy took.
I can't.
Do they eat brains?
This is adorable.
I just can't.
So cute. This is actually the picture. We can't post it because we don't have permission. But if you look, the guy who actually was accosted by one of these zombie raccoons is a photographer. So there is a picture.
I just snorted.
Of this zombie raccoon.
Oh, we can share it.
Standing on, you might be able to, I can retweet the where it came from. So, yeah, it's standing on its hind legs, baring its teeth, and apparently during the day they show up, they stand on their hind legs, they bare their teeth, and then they fall over like they're comatose.
Oh, my God.
And then these poor raccoons.
So they're belligerent drunks, basically.
Essentially, right, except they're showing up in the afternoon, so they're afternoon drinkers. So,
or maybe they're all smoking pot.
Yeah,
apparently
exactly.
That's a thing amongst raccoons.
Right.
That's how that started.
So,
it's a new epidemic.
Yeah. And then apparently they get up after falling over comatose and they do it all over again. So
maybe they're epileptic.
They think that it's distemper.
Oh.
Which.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
Makes it much sadder because they have to then find these zombie raccoons and put them down. There's nothing they can do about them. But if your dog.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is exposed to them, the dog can get distemper. We can't get distemper, but your dog can. So if you happen to be accosted by a zombie raccoon, keep your dog away from them and call the Humane Society.
If you see a raccoon walking around during the day, I avoid
animal
them all together.
Probably.
I really, really do. We saw one up in the mountains, middle of the day, kind of walking really funny. I had just seen the bear like the day before in the mountains. I get to see a bear. I took pictures of it. He was really, really cute. And thought, oh, maybe I should feed him. No, get in the damn house, you dumbass.
Yeah, don't feed the bear.
No, get in the house. It was really cute, though. It did look like a giant stuffed animal. But we saw the raccoon, and I just told my son, I'm like, we don't go and play with raccoons ever, but in the daytime, you stay inside.
So the zombie apocalypse starts with raccoons. Got Who it. Knew?
Well, they're cute.
2018 is the weirdest. This timeline of 2018 that we're in, anyway, is the freaking weirdest.
Mm-hmm.
It's just everything is.
Everything's going to get corrected this year at some point. Just watch. We're gonna start looking at all the corrections that are going to start happening, and we'll start pointing them out. That's all I'm going to say.
From your lips to God's ears.
That's all I'm going to say is my predictions are corrections.
Well, hopefully the zombie raccoon epidemic gets fixed. And don't feed your pet raccoon. First of all, who has a pet raccoon besides this person and my mother when she was growing up?
I know a few people.
More people than you would think. People love those little things because they're kind of like
cute.
Dogs.
Well, they have cute little hands.
Expressive
They're
faces.
Like dogs with hands,
yeah,
basically.
But
I think.
Don't feed your pet raccoon pot or.
I don't know. They could be a good
companion.
They
like shrooms more, so you know.
I could have a pet raccoon on an acid trip.
Yeah. Okay.
So anyway, there's that.
There's that. Chicago is coming along with the busted bra shop.
So you just got back last night from Chicago and you are turning around and we're going to an event tonight.
Yeah.
You didn't forget that, did you?
No, I dressed nicely.
Okay. I've got on my
skull shoes, but I've got other shoes if you tell me I can't wear them.
Or whatever the hell you want.
Thank you.
I mean, it's at a theater.
Oh, good.
Not a theater, but like a movie theater.
Nice jazz hands.
Thanks.
What are you doing?
We're going to a Chamber of Commerce mixer. So it's a bunch of Oakland County Chambers of Commerce mixing it up with each other.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
At the Imagine Theater.
Oh, okay.
So it's right down the street.
Yeah, it is. Okay.
Anyway, then you are turning around and tomorrow morning you're going back to Chicago?
That's my plan, man.
So you are getting ready to open, and we have a date now that you are actually absolutely stuck with opening on, right?
Well, it's already been published, in several different places.
What date is Busted Brush Up Chicago edition starting?
May 3rd. It's a Thursday. And what happens in Hyde Park on the first Thursday of the month is the small business, the retailers, open up, do late night stuff, and do specials and prizes and, you know, whatever.
Nice.
And so we're going to be open 12 to 8 that day.
And this is the first day they're open. So those of you who are going to be in Chicago or listening from Chicago,
come on by
and check things out.
Yeah, come on by. And it's not that I don't have the ability to sell now or I don't have all the licenses and all that stuff, but everything's not there and I'm not ready. It's not organized. I'm going to look like a complete doofus.
Right.
With the paper still on the windows.
Your staff just got some training on how to properly
they
fit
did yesterday right? Yeah, yesterday they went through some training. We had a lady come down from one of our major vendors and take us through 4 hours of training, and then we got to fit each other, and then somebody came by and she was like, I'll get fit, I'll be your guinea pig. Nice. So that was good.
Sweet.
Yay, somebody we don't know. And so yeah, Chicago's coming along. It's gonna happen. It's a totally different store than I say it's a totally different store it just has a different look than the Busted Detroit store has. And I'm going to be soft open for May so we can get our act together, and we'll do a hard opening in June. We're going to do a grand opening in June, and I haven't set that date yet, but I will work with the Chamber of Commerce. I've been like kind of working my way around things instead of direct. Cause somebody said, who did you talk to at the Chamber of Commerce? I said, the internet. Cause I just filled everything out, and now they're sending me emails, but I haven't been able to answer them back yet.
Yeah, and we've looked at a couple of things in the Chicago area that seem pretty cool. There are some places that really support women-owned businesses and things like that. So that's coming along. So May 3rd.
I wanted it to be May 4th, but we can do that the next day. May the 4th be with you.
Yeah, some sort of Star Wars thing.
I really wanted it to be, but whatever.
But you can't force these things.
Try it. So yeah, Chicago will be fun, and then watch for me other places.
Bonching.
That's me. All right, let's do something else. Talk about some of the other things.
How about we talk to our guest?
She's right here.
Nick, who's our guest? Did you mention her on the opening?
I did.
Okay, I wasn't paying attention to you.
Thank you.
Sorry.
So this is Laura Bernstein Macklay.
Your truth is right here.
Hello, Laura. She's a local author. She just had she has a book coming out, but she does have an advance wherever it is. Oh, wait, hang on.
Oh,
fiddle around.
She's hiding it.
There
it's
it is.
Green, too.
It's green.
It's green,
it's pretty.
But
it sort of disappears against the soundproofing in the room.
It does disappear against the soundproof, but it is. Look how I wore my green glasses.
I will take that and show it closer to the camera in just a minute.
Okay. Well, they should look at the doors. My husband and I have a fascination with
and
doors.
I do
and
too.
And the book's called Travelers.
It is.
It's a collection of essays about Detroit and about motherhood and about identity and all those kind of things. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But I will show people the cover in just a second.
I'm just looking at the names of everything. It's awesome. Wings, Clueless, Illicit, Good, Garden.
Okay. So.
Yeah, my husband mentioned that this morning.
I'll go show it to the camera.
I just noticed that every essay in there had a one-word title. He's read them all, but it just occurred to him this morning that, ooh, everything has one-word title.
Oh. He's perceptive.
He's very perceptive about many, many, many things.
All right. Oh, and look, there's a cassette deck. I love the front cover. Who did the front cover?
Okay, I'm going to be put on the spot.
That's okay. I can open up the book and look.
Yeah. She's the graphic designer for the press, Sonder Press.
Sasha Pinkus.
Sasha Pinkus. Really, really there cute. We go. You know that? I knew that.
That it reminds me of. I don't know why it reminds me of the original Pink Panther cartoon. Not the ones afterwards. Not the Peter Sellers ones.
I love the Pink Panther. Every episode.
But it's not every episode. It is not.
It's not every episode.
I mean, we can review. Let's review. We'll come back.
Elevators. Oh, it's really, really
well, actually, really cool. What it was reminding me of for the longest time, and I think they just changed this, but when you go to Starbucks and you go to log in – do you know what I'm talking about? You go to log in and they ask you into the Wi-Fi, and a page comes up and it had kind of a similar look. It was green and it had the different images.
Interesting.
Yeah. That means nothing.
I'm going to hold off on Starbucks. I know
Starbucks is problematic right now for so many reasons.
When is this one coming out?
It's coming out May 1st.
Okay.
And it's available for pre-order. But the books will actually come to you after May 1st. And May 3rd is an auspicious day because, sadly, I will not be able to go to Chicago to go to your opening because I'm pretty sure I'm having a book launch at Pages that night.
That's nice. Awesome. Beautiful. Pages is such a great place.
It really is.
That's really, really awesome. Okay, so tell me about your essays. I mean, is this your... You've published other books before.
I've not published other books. I've published lots of stuff. I've published lots of poems and lots of essays, but this is my first full-length baby.
As she pets the book.
I like how you pet
it. I know.
It's soft and pretty. These just came to me last night. My publisher sent me four of them. Congratulations. And my daughter posed me for a picture that I posted on Facebook.
Yeah, I saw that picture. If only she'd done that like a couple of days earlier.
Congratulations. No, that's fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah, we love
it. It's so pretty.
It is.
So Nick said, described it as essays about Detroit. Is that... accurate?
Well, one of them is specifically about Detroit, but Detroit is almost character. It kind of meanders through. Most of them take place in Detroit. I had grandparents who lived in Detroit, and I spent a lot of time with them when I was growing up. And then I went away, and I came back to Detroit, and Detroit has just figured really strongly in my life. I've lived here now for the past 20 years.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and then one essay is specifically about Detroit, and I wasn't sure whether or not to include it because it was a Detroit that was actually originally when the essay was written, it was a Detroit that still had not gone through bankruptcy. And then by the time the magazine that took it published it because they held it 2 years, but I still love you, American Scholar. they said, well, you might want to change it because by then we were in the process of bankruptcy. So I did some revising of it. But then since then, and now the book is appearing in the essays in it, things have changed even more. So I'm a little torn about this essay. I mean, I still feel like it's right, but it was set in a time and then moved to another time. And but it's about Detroit, and I think it captures my experience of Detroit anyway.
Great. I remember Detroit before and after and during bankruptcy.
Had many faces.
Things grow. Things change.
They do.
So, Laura, what is your favorite essay in the book? And it's probably like asking to choose your favorite child.
I think my favorite essay that I keep coming back to is Good.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, and it's a really good essay. It's also called Good.
Let's see. May I open up and look at Good?
Sure.
Thank you very much.
I warn you, it has a shocking first sentence or two.
May I read it? Because I love shocking. Oh, shocking makes me very, very happy.
Okay. I'm sure you've listened to this blog.
May I read a little excerpt?
Go for it.
All right. My daughter learns about oral sex in the car when she's 6 years old. I'm driving, play date, to Dairy Freeze to drop off. Celia and her friend May in the backseat. It's one of those autumn evenings after a clear day when the sun dangles directly over my car's windshield and I have to squint to make out the shape of traffic in front of me. Oh, I hate those days.
Yeah.
Woodward Avenue rushes past my side window like a film sped up, 14 mile to 13, 12. But I've made this drive so many times, I ignore all but the highlights. This restaurant gone dark. A sign screaming, going out of business spectacular at that shop because this is the throes of the Great Recession. And because summer flat out refuses to quit, we're all sweating a little. Oh, we're not there.
No.
The drying heater of my VW mumbling and then moaning like an old man from the direction of my dashboard. All right. Awesome. It is a fantastic first sentence. Now I want to know what she finds out. Oh, okay. Here we go. So she's talking about a song. I know that song, May says. It's about oral sex. That's when someone pushes you down, rubs your private. Okay. Good job. See, that shocking. Will get you. That you want to read this. True stories of how kids learn about sex.
Right. And these essays were obviously written over a period of time,
yeah.
Which explains my issues with the Detroit essay, that it captured a moment in time and then a little bit of a later moment in time, which still is not the present moment in time. And then this one took place when my daughter was six, and mm-hmm. she's 17 now, so it's been a while.
Yeah, it'll always be changing. So you can't change. It'll always be changing. Like that?
Mm-hmm. Always be changing.
It'll always be changing. Always be closing.
The only constant is change.
Always be conversing.
Always be something. and there we go.
Anyway.
Yeah. Hi.
Back to Laurel.
That's great. So you're going to have an opening on the 3rd at Pages.
Yes. As far as I know.
As far as
I know.
That's on your calendar.
My calendar. This is what my publisher tells me. I love Pages. I've actually wanted to call and talk to somebody and confirm this, but I don't want to be a bother. So I'm pretty sure that this is happening. And as soon as I have an absolute official confirmation so that I know when to buy the cake, because there has to be cake, I will post it on Facebook.
Did you say cake or keg? Because I'd say a book signing with a keg is going to be...
That would be awesome. That's very out
of the box thinking right there.
And, yeah. And Pages really is big enough to do a keg on one side for that group and a cake on the other for that group of people.
Right.
Or do the cake early and the keg late.
Right. Maybe we could make the cake.
And
where could we get the beer from?
We could get the beer from Falling Down Brewery that helps support these podcasts, Podcast Detroit in general.
Nice segue.
Beautiful. Thank you. I was trying to find a way.
I feel like we're
that.
Almost professional now.
I almost brought that in when you talked about the raccoons falling over.
Oh,
so, but
good.
That was better.
Yeah. Yay.
Do we have to be professional? I guess we have to a little bit.
No.
That's a pretty dress.
Thank you.
Is that vintage?
No, it's from the Peacock Room, is vintage style. And my foundation wear is busted.
Dun, dun, dun. She is dressed in a Midtown.
And my boots are from Argentina.
Oh, yeah, we'll take a phone call. We've got a phone call coming in.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Uh-oh.
This is fantastic.
It's Falling Down Beer. They're like, please don't mention us again. You guys are losers.
I didn't know that could happen.
Should we say hello? Hello.
Hello. No.
You dropped the.
No, it's on the. No, that's a phone call.
That's
to
a
your...
phone call from you to you.
Hold on. You guys keep talking. Say something funny.
Be funny.
Okay, I'm not going to say anything funny. I do have a question though.
Of course.
So, how did you get into writing essays? Like, how did that come about?
It came about after. For me, my longest experience with writer's block, which lasted 5 years and was pure hell on earth. And I was a poet. I got a degree in poetry, which is maybe the most useless degree ever.
Oh, that's a beautiful degree.
And it's a master's in poetry.
Oh, my God.
It's an MFA in poetry, which, you know, what else can I do but teach poetry, which is what I do. I teach at CCS, the art college in Detroit. And I'm not teaching poetry at the moment, just to be clear, because someone else is teaching poetry. I'm now teaching creative nonfiction. I'm sorry, I'm going on a tangent here. But wait, what was your question again? Oh, how did
you
I
fit in so perfectly to our podcast? okay, which is all tangents.
Wait.
No, how did you get into essay writing?
Essay writing. Yeah. Okay. All right. So I stopped writing poetry. People kept telling me that my poetry was so narrative. Are you sure you're not a fiction writer? And I kept saying, no, I'm not a fiction writer because fiction is really hard. I mean, you have to create a narrative arc and something has to happen. And
not screw it up like during the process and go like, oh, shit, I have that person doing something 2 years after they died.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. I don't think I'm clever enough for that. Are you a fiction writer?
No.
Well, we all maybe. Are, aren't we?
I've had one
I mean,
story.
We all know our world through stories.
That's so true. That's so true. Because first we tell a lie, then we make a metaphor. It's so human.
Yeah, exactly. I love the idea that people are like, you write narrative poems. Are you sure you're not? Have you read poems? I mean, the history of mankind. Yeah, is poetry.
It was endlessly frustrating. It was endlessly frustrating.
I mean, my favorite poem is The Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner.
I love that poem. My daughter just read that for her class.
It's one of my favorites.
Have you read awesome. Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency?
Yes, I have.
You need to. If your favorite poem is The Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner,
Douglas Adams,
you need to read Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency.
I mean, I'm a big fan of Burns too, but there's
a show about that, right? There's a show.
There is a show.
I like the sequel better. What's the sequel called?
Oh, me too. The Long Dark Tea Time of the Soul.
That's the one I've read. No.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, okay.
One.
Yeah, right, and then there's also the Salmon of Doubt, but that was like the uncompleted Wait, one when
so
when
it's
he
called
right,
when he died. Okay, it's oh, I didn't
Dirk
know that.
Gently?
Yeah, just look up Dirk Gently.
Okay. So speaking of Hitchhiker's Guide, to totally derail us from Laura. There is another fiction book that I have got to start reading because she's been called the Douglas Adams of science fiction right now.
Really?
What's it called?
It is called Space Opera.
Okay.
And I've heard it described as a mashup of like space sci-fi and Eurovision, the competition.
Okay.
So I'm intrigued and I follow her on Twitter, but I have not gotten her book yet.
We should all read it.
We should all read Space Opera. But so back to essay writing, you had writer's block.
I knew I was going to get back there eventually. So I had writer's block, and I stop writing. I just stop, and I'm still teaching creative writing at CCS, and I'm feeling like the biggest fraud in the world. And I have a very, very good friend, my friend Ksenia Rich-Ditchka, and she is a local writer, has published a book, so everybody should read Crossing the Border. In any case, she was trying consistently to do writing interventions for me over those 5 years. Over and over and over
again. I need you to explain what a writing intervention looks like.
We need to write I statements at this point.
Do they lock you in a giant chalkboard?
And first of all, wait, before we get there, I just want to say her last name, Rich-Ditchka?
Yeah, Rich-Ditchka.
Rich-Ditchka.
Yes.
That's fun. You have a fun name, Rich-Ditchka.
She does. She's Ukrainian and she's wonderful.
So
she's also
an
amazing
writer. Do they just give you Mad Libs and say,
right, like, what is a writing intervention? Like, is it like we're locking you in a room until you can produce 2 pages? What?
More like it's hounding me persistently, persistently, persistently. And finally, she convinces me to go to a writing workshop. So I went to Bear River, which is put on by the University of Michigan, and they hold it up near Petoskey. And I didn't want to go because I didn't want to write because I'd given up. And I went anyway, and my goal was to go to the little wine mixers and drink wine and chat with people and maybe get an idea. And I thought, you know, if I managed to write one line of one poem, and what I ended up doing instead was writing what became the final essay in this book, and it's called Holy, and I'm not quite sure how it happened. The God of Essays poured himself through my brain during one of those wine mixers, and I started writing essays, and now that's what I do. So there we go. That's a long story for something that's not really very exciting.
Well, I think that.
No, that sounds good.
I just am always interested in the process and how
God of wine. Dionysus.
Dionysus helped.
One of my gods.
I was trying to remember.
Thank you.
I honor the god of
Dionysus
wine.
Came
I honor
into
Dionysus.
My head, but then I was trying to remember the.
There's another
the
one.
Bacchus?
No,
wait,
the.
That's his other name? Yeah.
Oh, shit. I can't remember what they're called now.
The Fates? The Norns?
Fairies.
The Weird Sisters?
You zombies? Zombie raccoons?
Puppies. Just, can you give us a hint? Does it have
You're
wings?
You're not helping.
The muses?
Muses, thank you.
There are seven of them.
That? Oh, there's seven. I'm thinking of the three sisters.
That's
it. Because I had the wrong number.
I'm never playing charades against you two because you didn't move. You just were like emitting music.
The only one I know is Eredo because it's a crossword puzzle clue. But I don't know what she is the muse
Even if you just said Xanadu.
Also is...
Yeah, what the fuck is Xanadu?
What do you mean, what the fuck is Xanadu? You don't know
Xanadu.
Oh,
my God.
It's a movie.
Okay,
it's Xanadu.
It's great. It's great. You are going to have...
Stop yelling at me.
Okay, no.
Back to Coleridge.
This is the absolute truth. Never respond to someone who's not read something with, oh, my God, you've not done this. No, what you do is you say, you have got such a treat in store.
You really do. Olivia Newton-John at her finest.
There's also a really fun musical version.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and then there's the poem.
On roller
skates. And then there's the poem. Oh, Xanadu.
Xanadu did Kubla Khan a stately pleasure dome
decree. By Samuel Taylor Coleridge, which is also Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner.
They're so much smarter than I am.
I am so much more likely to read the poem than watch that movie.
Oh, come on. Really? Okay.
Just
that's
an FYI.
I'll bring you a bottle of bourbon if you watch
Xanadu. In
Xanadu
did Kubla Khan a stately pleasure dome decree and
yep. And the movie takes place on a roller rink?
And a lot of wind. They're all going through the wind.
I think I'm thinking Barbarella.
Gene Kelly was in that too.
Yes.
That's where the name Duran Duran came from.
Yeah. Oh, I did not know
Barbarella?
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. You did not know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, she was looking for Duran Duran.
Oh, I never saw that movie.
Speaking of things based on comics, which Barbarella was, everybody check out, if you want to read an interesting comic, Luna introduced me to a comic called The Wicked and the Divine, which is
I like the title.
It's a great thing about this 90-year cycle where gods return and they inhabit the bodies of like young people and they have basically 2 years to live.
Dude, you're hitting all of our buttons here.
Just the gods or?
The gods. The gods have 2 years to live.
Okay.
And then the young people get their body back?
Nope.
Damn.
That was my first thought, too. Yeah. I'm fretting.
I'm like, do you want your back? Do they want it back husks? After the gods have been messing with it?
It depends on the 90, on when in the, you know, when the 90-year cycle is happening. But basically, you know, you're doomed.
Right.
You become the embodiment of the god and you're loved and you're hated and you're just super powerful. And the 90-year, whenever it is, so like this one is set in 2014, so all of the gods are basically like rock stars or performance artists, and everyone loves them.
Okay.
And they know that 2 years down the road, they're going to die horribly, because that's just part of the deal.
That's part of the story.
Wait, what is this called again?
It's called The Wicked and the Divine.
And I was hearing a graphic novel.
It's a graphic novel, and I've read. There's like about 8 volumes. I'm on the second volume. It's superb. We should bring Luna on again at some point and just have her like do book recommendations. She's very good
at that.
We have
so much to read and watch.
We do. We do.
Fine. I'll be back next week.
Laura, are you into podcasts or TV, or do you just sip tea with a cat in a corner and write poetry?
Like, do you ever have to drive 4.5 hours at a time with nobody else in the car? Because I'm doing that a lot.
Yeah, I actually do a lot of driving. But
podcasts, there you go.
Podcasts. Yeah, I'm only really new to Facebook. I am not very sophisticated for somebody who, by the way, is now teaching online. I am...
How do you do this?
I am so – yeah, I actually just messed up grade books. So none of my students in my creative nonfiction class have grades at the moment because I screwed it up so badly.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, sorry. But all the grades you thought you were getting all semester long, they're wrong.
Awesome.
Oh, my God. Shouldn't have just said that out loud. It's still in the process of being worked out.
Do you have a smartphone?
I do have a smart – well, it's a really stupid smartphone though. Is it an iPhone? Yeah, but it's like a 4. Okay, but I do have iPad. I have an iPad. I have an iPad and I have a Mac computer.
So here's the thing.
I'm loaded.
Here's the thing. You do not have to be technologically savvy at all to start listening to podcasts.
Nope. And Dirty John is one of the good
ones
to start
probably
with.
Requires more technology know-how than most because we're on a different platform than iTunes, which is where you're going to find your...
Right. Well, no, here's a romantic story, actually. On weekend mornings, sometimes my husband and I lay there in bed and he turns on a podcast and we listen to Invisibilia or something.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. Okay. Sometimes we hold hands, too.
Aww. That's special. Oh,
holding hands is a really delightful thing.
Don't mock him.
Oh, but he's so much fun to mock.
He's sweet and sensitive.
And he loves fish. So when Lively and I were in the ocean snorkeling, and it was kind of rough seas, we were down in Mexico and we were snorkeling with turtles and all kinds of fun things. All of a sudden he grabs my hand while we're swimming. You can't really have a conversation when you're snorkeling. And I get this little hand going. And so I'm like, what's up? He's like, I'm being swept away by the current. Please hold on to me and let's just swim together. I was like, oh, this is the cutest thing ever. He's 10.
That's adorable. That's so perfect. Anyway.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You're talking about podcasts.
Dirty John. Right.
So the reason I bring this up is I have recommended Lee listen to a couple of different podcasts now. Mm-hmm. I wanted to talk about Disgraceland and the Vikings.
The
Norwegian death metal, which was a terrifying. Well, I don't even know what it was. Movement?
It was a terrifying moment.
Yeah, moment. That's a good explanation for it.
Yeah.
So there are a couple of podcasts that I recommend. One is called Disgraceland that I recommended that Lee listened to. We started this after listening to a murder comedy podcast.
Okay. So should I listen to this also?
It depends on what you're interested in.
Disgraceland, it goes into music and things that happen where it's disgraceful.
Right. Okay.
So they took Graceland and Disgraceful and they put it together.
Right.
And so the first one is about the Sex Pistols.
Awesome.
Yeah. Sid and Nancy.
Okay.
But you get the whole background.
You don't get just the little tidbits but you get the whole background.
Right.
And then we start talking about Great Balls of Fire.
Jerry Lee Lewis, and you're not his child bride, but the wife that he may or may not have murdered.
Two of them, actually.
Oh.
Yeah.
Two.
Okay.
And the fact that he, which I didn't realize, he was so obsessed with Elvis and he wanted to be the king of rock and roll that he went to Graceland to murder him. And they were like, go back home, Jerry Lee Lewis.
You're drunk.
Go home, Winter. You are drunk.
Wait. Well. This is actually based on reality?
Yes.
He found police reports. It's all based on reality.
Yeah. Oh.
Then they did Norwegian death metal.
Where Varg Vikernes decided that rather than being turned away, Jerry Lee Lewis really should have just murdered someone. Yeah. And Varg... Yeah.
But he really thought that he was the Walking Dead at one point, and he would bury his clothes in the earth for 3 weeks before every performance, so he could be like
wear them, so he would smell like
of the earth and of death.
I mean, I'm perfectly willing to listen to why.
if you're interested, I was interested in all these different personalities. But then we watch. I can't believe it's not murder. It's my favorite murder. We're going to do that podcast at some point.
I can't believe it's not murder. My favorite murder, which is the first podcast I got Lee to listen to. I'm a podcast junkie. And that's like two female comedians who tell each other a murder. So like
horrible murders.
They bring a murder.
And it becomes very uncomfortable.
That involves a lot more research than we're willing to do. Yep. So
I need a list.
Yeah, we'll give you a list.
Then Dirty John I like because it's a series.
Yeah, so I told Lee to listen to this on the way to Chicago. And it is a story about basically, I don't know if you could call him a catfisher because he really is who he says he is. He's just a slime ball.
He's not really who he says he is,
though. But not in a catfishing kind of way.
Yeah.
Not in a, like, I'm a fat 60-year-old guy who's pretending to be a 16-year-old girl.
Okay, there you go. he says that he's a doctor and anesthesiologist.
He's not.
And he's really was a nurse that could administer anesthesia. And he really wasn't anymore when he presented himself like that because he had been basically disbarred, but that's the wrong terminology.
His license had been revoked.
Yeah, because he had been stealing drugs from the hospitals. But he defrauded?
Mm-hmm.
Many, many, many women over 30 to 40 years of money and time and things.
So he'd come in and be like, oh, I'm going to sweep you off your feet and treat you lovely. Basically, it's a cautionary tale for anybody who is gullible enough to believe somebody without some backup.
And he met them all off Match.
Match.com. So, which is not necessarily a bad place, but do your due diligence. So, so he would defraud these women. He would come into their lives, pretend that he was wealthy and had all of this stuff, and essentially steal their money.
Scam them. He was a big scammer. Yeah. Right.
And things get quite violent in the end and bad things happen.
Because he goes after their families. Once they start pissing him off, he goes after their families.
That would be a good name for a podcast. Bad things happen.
Bad things happen.
Yes.
That is very, very true.
So, 4 minutes. It's an interesting podcast to listen to. So
I want to listen.
You enjoyed it?
I enjoyed it, and I couldn't stop listening to it. And I knew that on my way back from Chicago to Detroit, I was going to have somebody else in the car that I was getting to know. I was like, I can't just throw her into the end of this series, because it's a 6-part series. So I listened to the whole thing in one day, and I would call her every once in a while. I was like, Mother, he was such a jerk. And then I'd call and say, yay, this thing happened to him because he's such an asshole.
So it is good, and it is a finite series. It's actually going to be made into a TV movie, I think.
Okay.
So that will be coming out. I don't know when it's going to come out, but they've announced that they're going to make that a TV movie.
Cool.
So anyway.
There you go. We like podcasts.
I just wanted to get
I support podcasts. I'm doing a podcast.
Yeah.
Who knew this would happen?
I just wanted to get Lee's take on Dirty John while we were in studio today.
I just wanted to learn more and more and more about him. I don't want to ruin it for anyone that might be listening. There are tens of listeners that might actually want to listen to Dirty John. But it was fascinating, and I recommended it to other people in my life that I know
could use it.
Could use it, because falling in love very quickly can sometimes bite you in the ass.
Yeah,
sometimes it's awesome. Most of the time, be positive, but also do a Google search.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's too many, I can explain that.
Yeah.
Then really, really put a few walls up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have other people take a gander at the situation and then listen to them. Don't push them out of your life. Yeah. Dirty John was a jackass. And that was his nickname, too, in college. His friends at his wedding said on film, because they show this, John, his nickname is Dirty John. And sometimes they just called him Nasty or something. And you're like, that really should have been a clue.
Right.
Yes.
Get a clue, woman.
Yeah. Why did you marry anybody like that?
Anyway. So I just like the mashup of genres. So we've got podcasts. We've got books. We've got Pages Bookstore, which has a few things coming up. May 3rd, Laura will be there signing books, I assume.
I'm almost 100% sure.
With cake?
If not, just do it.
I'll just show up, yeah.
just turn up with a keg. Everything will be lovely.
I'm here.
Keg's in the car.
Also at Pages on April 25th, because I think we're not going to be here next
Karen
week.
Dibas.
It's Karen Dibas's thing.
Just go ahead and do it. We'll plan it. We'll be here. Fine.
We'll be here. Okay, fine. We'll be here. Lee may or may not.
Okay, great. So we'll have Holly from the School of Burlesque.
But yes. then the next week, we will not be here.
Okay.
May 4th, we will not be here. May the 4th be with you.
Yes, that's fine.
All right, so next week is a burlesque performer.
That's May 2nd.
That's May 2nd.
Damn it.
Two days before the 4th. The 4th is just sort of feebly, moving in bed. It hasn't awoken yet on May 2nd.
Burlesque. Next week.
Next week, burlesque. Is there anything going on around town?
Facebook Live could be really exciting.
Well, on Friday, I have the storytelling event that I co-host at the Charles H. Wright. So anybody wants to come down and talk about trust and betrayal, you can hear some great stories about that. And at halftime, you can tell me your own stories about trust and betrayal.
Trust and betrayal. That's also another good title.
Because I do that.
It yes, it is.
Yeah, and incidentally, since storytelling is a big thing, I actually just created a group on Facebook for a place where people can put all of the storytelling events, including mine and also Ellen's. Hello, Ellen. Ellen also hosts a storytelling event. Uh-oh. Sometimes.
Should I have put my mic on?
Yeah, you should have put your mic on. Hello, Ellen.
Here I am. Hello.
Yes. Ellen also hosts a storytelling event at Ghostlight in Hamtramck on the second Tuesday of every month.
So stories. We love stories.
Bondage and butterflies.
Stories on podcasts, in person.
Yep.
Oh, that. Sorry, that's my one short story that I wrote and got published.
I was going to say, and yet another podcast name, Bondage and Butterflies.
Seriously,
Bondage and Butterflies
actually is a great podcast name.
Yeah, yeah.
But then what do we do with content? Do we just bring people on to tell stories?
About bondage and butterflies?
Well, no, I mean, it doesn't have to be that close to the theme. That's limiting it.
All right, and that concludes this week's podcast. Of bras,
Holy
bitches involved.
Shit, this one went sideways.
It did. Oh. But I kind of liked it, and it was fun, and it's 11:01. So, Ellen, take us away.
Thank you,
Stay
Laura.
Bitchy.
Oh,
thanks,
thank you for
Laura.
Having me.
We appreciate you coming
thank
in.
Thank you.